All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe, and I am joined by my fantastic friends. I am joined by Jean, playing Benedict.
Hello.
I'm, of course, joined by Dace, playing the new, and I suppose improved, but at least new, Busiak Bartok. That's the sound. That's the Pokemon sound Busiak makes. And, of course, joined by Brad, who just regaled us with, I believe it was called, a Cthulhuan horror within his own mouth. Brad, playing Hank.
It was supposed to be a story of hope, but now it's...
But it didn't go that way, did it?
And everybody's disgusted by me.
Yes. How's it going, guys? It is at least, well, at least for three of us, it is right here at that post. Was the last time we met, was that before Halloween? Or
was it? No.
I can't even remember now.
It was post-Halloween.
Was it post-Halloween? Well, now we're in that pre-Thanksgiving kind of lull. It's like everything's getting cold and wet and things are slowing down.
Did we play on Saturday the 2nd? Did we play on a Saturday last time?
Oh, we did. It was.
That was technically the Day of the Dead.
Oh.
It's
a good one.
Ah, we missed it. But yeah, what's how you guys been doing lately? Okay, let's go completely the other direction from the cold and wet to Jean. Mm-hmm. Jean, how are you?
Warm and dry.
Yeah.
Warm and wet.
Warm and wet. That's a different conversation, though. That's our other podcast. That's our Patreon exclusive show.
I'm so glad I was not invited to that one. I'm all right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so, you know, this is a time where we do a lot of traveling. And something I was talking to the guys about is we do need to kind of get some stuff sorted out for scheduling for the Christmas one-shot, which is something that I am really interested in running again. I don't know. How are you guys feeling with the fantasy versus more? Like, you know, because we have that feeling sometimes. The original reason we got into Delta Green was because we were kind of high fantasied out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Thanks to Brad.
His fault. Brad ruined... Uh-huh. An entire genre for us.
I go completely nuts when I play D&D.
He turns into a completely different person. It's terrifying, honestly.
The dude has no chill. I think we can all agree. But we, you know, so like we'd originally had kind of gotten a little bit, not tired, you know, just like we were just looking for something else, you know, which happens, which absolutely happens after a time. And
you do with partners.
Just like what happens with romantic partners. Oh, Lord. So, yeah, we originally had come, but, like, how are you guys feeling? Are you guys looking forward to some... we've touched on it kind of here and there. Are you guys looking forward to the fantasy chaos that is the Christmas one-shot?
Hell yeah. That's my favorite holiday of the year. That's the only holiday of the year for me. That is my only deity that I believe in. Is the Christmas one shot.
Okay.
I need to remember to actually save. I remake the character sheet for
every
Leon
time.
Every time we play. So I need to actually solidify it this time. You know, no, on that. So me, Dace, and our other two buddies are playing Baldur's Gate. And you can play that as a whole team. And there's a DLC, or like basically mod, where you can be a bunch of different races. So you can be like a fucking Red Hat or a Minotaur.
Yeah.
And I was like, and how fun would it be for us to play Baldur's Gate 3 as that crew? As the one shot crew.
Oh my fucking god.
I did not know about this.
Can someone.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, so I don't know anything about Baldur's Gate. Like, so can someone like make their own custom kind of stories or anything in there? Like, could you GM it?
Unfortunately, it's like it's a story set,
right?
But it's ridiculous how many options you have to like deviate from the main thing. Like, you literally, like, it's not, it's even more in depth than, like, say, what's the most in depth, you know, like the old Mass Effect or anything like that. It's like,
I gotcha.
If you say something wrong, then someone's gonna straight up die, you know, or something like
I gotcha.
That.
Like, so the stakes are pretty high, is what you're saying.
And I was playing a solo just through the same part that we've already done solo, and I was like, what the hell? It's like so much more shit just happened to me than what we did with our crew.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea, though. I'm sure they'll do it eventually. Add DMing, player DMing.
Yeah, that would be cool if you could, like, custom make.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, have a small area to explore
mm-hmm.
and, like, have a story within that one area.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like there are, you know, some other programs, you know, that are kind of similar to Roll20 and stuff that try, you know, to do that, try to give you a lot more, you know, control over that, you know, and they've had varying degrees of success. Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to the Christmas one shot. You know, I think we are going to have to remote Jean in, because, you know, his typical way in and out of the country, I think, has expired, we'll say. So he has to figure out a new method.
I really hope these shenanigans don't give me in trouble. Like, I'm gonna use these podcasts as evidence when I do get in trouble. Just be like, please listen to this episode. Joe is clearly joking.
Listen, I'm a normal guy.
I just picture whenever John gets on a plane, like the Jason Bourne music starts playing. He's like, he opens up his case of like various IDs before he goes to the airport.
Well, the issue this time is the last time he got into the country, he used those tunnels that El Chapo dug to get out of prison.
And
those have recently collapsed. So,
unfortunately.
You know what? At some point, I'm just going to lean into this, and then there's no more one shots for you. Then I'm out of your country forever because I leaned into this shenanigans and got myself.
How do you like that?
How you like that?
We'll have to it
as well.
Use all our money to create a pirate ship and play on international waters.
Yes!
I think you just discovered my greatest goal in life.
And we can just live there, right? We can just live on that pirate ship
in
international waters.
Hell yeah.
Like Metal Gear Solid just, 5, just buy a oil rig and create a private military base and podcast.
I'm not so hot on the oil rig. We need some mobility.
It's
but they're what pretty big.
You can move them.
Floating.
Oh, so, just saying. Isn't there a country that's like a quote unquote country that exists on an oil rig?
I'm not
like,
sure.
Somewhere it's just like a country that literally someone made up and founded, and they like bought an abandoned oil rig. we could get into that. Well, speaking of unknown countries, let's talk about Impossible Landscapes.
This was pretty good. Pretty good.
And where you guys find yourself now. How about that? 8.5? Ooh, okay. Yep. High praise from Sean.
Unexpected. It was like a little bit of surprise. It was kind of interesting. It was intellectual.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have a rubric?
Yeah. I'm keeping track. I've got a scorecard. Your average is at about 7.
It's going to be a good one today.
That's going to be a good one. I caught Jean on a good day, I see. All right. Last time, of course, you know, it would be ridiculous to even start without mentioning that we met, and I think we all fell in love a little bit, with Boosie Eichbartok, our newest addition to the team in the wake of a pretty massive loss of Benji. You guys in the labyrinth trying to figure out what you're gonna do, trying to figure out where to go from here. All the while, it would seem that this other individual, and maybe others still, who can say, it seems that for years, decades, maybe even before that circumstances were lining up so that at this time and at this moment, you guys experienced an interception, a crash course. Two celestial bodies just happened to be online to connect and to collide as Busiek Bartok appears at the right time and right place. And I will remind you, he meets you at the right time and the right place in a place without time. And a place often without place. And yet you still collide and your teams merge.
What are the odds?
What are the odds? And I will highlight one of, I think, probably the best line of last time we recorded, which was where Busiek said, "No, Hank, I'm not the new party member. You're the new party member."
A little Rorschach.
Yeah, which is very
good.
You're
not locked in here with me. I'm locked in here with you. What? Except the opposite. Except Hagel that line.
So we found everyone there in the labyrinth. You guys joined forces, and you're moving forward, and went back to something you had tried to again with Benji, to embrace the darkness, let the sommelier come to you, which did happen, and we got into this classic GMing kind of struggle where you guys are standing before something that is not a trap and you are trying to prepare for the trap. So
what trap were we trying to prepare for?
The bottle. Pick it up.
Staircase to the lake.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was one of those classic moments where I'm just sitting back here watching it happen, you know, as you guys eventually you follow the sommelier to JC Lentz's bottle. Which has been a part of this list that you were given back, I believe, at the beginning of chapter 3 when you guys escaped the Dorchester night world. Find JC Lentz at the Hotel Broad Alban. Go now. Find the hotel. Find the labyrinth. Find the author. The bottle. His city, the lake, its shadow, the battle. Then the party, the dance, the girl in blue, the one singing. Nothing is true except that out is through. Love and kisses, Abby. You guys pick up the bottle, revealing a stairwell. A stairwell that seems to belch out this thick white fog, and you guys go into the fog and find yourself waking up on the rocky pebble beach, the waves lapping up behind you, and all around you a ruined, burnt out, bombed out, dilapidated city on a shore. You do not know how you got here. And I told you that we have entered part 4 of Delta Green Impossible Landscapes.
Major Inception vibes.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I think that is the perfect image. Like, add more fog. Add more fog to that scene, and that's what you've got. You guys waking up kind of, you know, just kind of bam, you're there. You know, as you're kind of coming to your feet. And I will read you a tiny excerpt here. Is that how you say that? Excerpt? Or did I just
nailed it?
Have an issue? From the beginning of the chapter. You know, every one of these chapters has a little piece. So this is written as if it is, you know, the script of a play. Camilla, you, sir, should unmask. The stranger. Indeed? Casilda. Indeed, it is time we have all laid aside disguise, except you. The stranger. I wear no mask. Camilla, terrified, aside to Casilda. No mask? No mask. Which is from Act 2, Scene 4 of The King in Yellow. Before we get started, before we figure out what the hell you guys are going to do in this new place, this new time, I want to fade back just a little bit, or maybe even as the scene opens, we zoom in. Each of you come to all fours and stand. I believe Busiak curses at the wind a little bit about how bullshit it is to be here at this situation. But we zoom in to Hank. We zoom in, one of these slow zoom in on Hank's face and his eyes. And I imagine that part of Hank's face is like aware, looking around, you know, trying to make sense of everything, but part of his eyes are just tired, just weary of everything to get to this point. Keeping in mind, Hank, you have just lost someone. And I don't know if Hank's really up sitting down and processing that kind of guy, you know? But we zoom in on Hank's eyes, and then we have that kind of transition as his eyes get just a little bit younger, you know, just a little bit. And then we zoom back out away, and we see that Hank is wearing a police dress uniform. And we hear low murmuring all around him as he is kind of looking off into the distance. And we see that he is surrounded by other various federal police type people, in some in dress uniforms, some in suits. And it becomes pretty clear pretty quick that he is staring at the portrait of a woman. In the portrait, she is also wearing a police dress uniform. And the portrait stands beside a casket. Hank, another fellow lost in the line of duty. You know, and not anyone necessarily particularly close to you, but someone that you've worked with adjacently. But it is the done thing. You are here. Here in this time and in this place. It is 2005. The, 9/11 is not too long ago. Maybe even the death here is due to injuries sustained on that day. But no matter what, you were here, and someone walks up to you, you know, one of your fellow U.S. Marshals. He has an hors d'oeuvre in his hand, you know, which he is politely nibbling on, not enjoying too much. He says, "Another one down, huh, Hank?"
"The hell of a thing, but again, this is what we signed up for. We know what might happen to any one of us."
Fair enough. So young. You know, shit, that's Hank. That's another Hank. You look, it's you too.
You stop doing impressions on me. Not funny. This isn't the time.
Pardon me. Excuse me. I got away from myself. You know, it's some, you know, that all of these are always a little uncomfortable, Hank, but some real weirdos at this one. And there towards the side, the room seems to be split between the professional acquaintances of this officer and the family. The family is off to one side. They seem to be distant. And you're familiar with this, Hank. You've seen this before. Sometimes the family blames the badge after the death. It's normal. It's completely normal. Understandable. And your eyes are drawn to one corner, sitting slightly away from the family. You feel hair on the back of your neck stand like you're being watched. And you turn to the corner and see a woman, you think. She's wearing a dark veil over her face. Old woman. You can see her hands. How old and wrinkled they are. But she seems to be locked onto you.
Is that who he's making reference to?
He's making reference to a lot of the family. You know, maybe some people with some different colored hair. And that's weird for him. You know. But this one, like, really...
Hank's like... Well, maybe I better make peace. I'll say something to them just so that they know we all feeling the same right now. And Hank tries to make his way over to this
elderly
woman staring him down.
Yeah, you're a better man than me, Hank, he says as he turns for another hors d'oeuvre. You approach this woman, and now you see that you're not even sure she's looking at you. You think she might have just been kind of looking through you. She doesn't seem to move as you approach.
He just says, I just want to say I'm sorry for your loss. He was a great officer. One of the best.
Oh, I'm sure she was good at what she did. Just as I'm sure she did exactly as she was told. Just as you're going to do exactly as you're told. Hank Ellis.
Well, yes, we all have certain duties and such that we must follow. Can I ask, what was your relationship with her?
Oh, I was there at the beginning. And the end.
Oh, grandmother.
There is a cackle from beneath the veil. She reaches, and you see her hands are on her lap, and you see that now she pulls her hand up, and underneath the veil, she coughs a little bit and, you know, stifles the cough. You can barely make her out underneath that, but you see that under her hands appears to be a deck of cards.
Hank wants to, I'm not going to ask about the cards. Can I do a alertness to see if I can, like, glimpse what's on them?
Why not?
Ooh.
Crit, 33.
Oh. All right.
What are they?
These are a set of tarot cards. And you see that on top is a card that is marked the knight. And as in the knight, like a medieval knight. And you see that there's something odd about this card and the language it's written in even. You look at it a second time and you realize you can't read that at all. It's actually written in some weird language. What is that? Russian? But you seem to... And not only that, the knight on this card, his armor is not of steel, but of Kevlar. His helmet is not that of a medieval knight, it's something more familiar to you. Riot gear. But her hand is back on the card quickly.
Hmm.
Yes. And she said, we all do what we are told, Hank Ellis. Whether we know or not, we all have a part to play. And what will your part be?
I'm sorry, have we met before? I don't remember giving you my name.
Right about that time, you hear someone bark at you. Ellis! From behind you, it's time to move the casket, render the 21-gun salute, and that kind of things. And all the uniformed officers need to assemble. You turn briefly, says, and as you turn, she answers you.
Oh, we've met, and we'll meet again.
And as you turn back, I think you can predict what you see. Nothing. She's gone. And in this moment, we come back. And maybe even as Hank goes and disappears into a sea of dress uniforms, maybe the camera zooms down to the floor, down. Maybe even as Hank steps away, underneath where his foot was, this card is laying.
Wait, now?
And as, yes, but Hank doesn't see it. Hank goes to join his uniformed brothers and sisters, and we zoom into the card, and we see that it bears a striking resemblance to our own Hank Ellis. But the camera zooms into the background, a background of desiccated and blasted, destroyed buildings. And then the camera zooms back out to our trio, standing on the shores of the Lake Hali.
Oh. Nice.
not a cheap shot.
No.
That's gonna be a lot of CGI.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I think I've hinted at maybe when Hank first got into the Broad album, he was like, I don't think I'm coming back, what is reality, blah, blah, blah. But maybe now Face having some time to process Benji's death and just having this flashback to another comrade dying that was very much a part of his reality. It's kind of setting in. Maybe he's a little bit more nervous. I don't know. And he kind of turns to Bartok and says, listen, Bartok, I just want to say we're all confused right now, but we got off on the wrong foot. I'm sorry, but I think you gleamed. We already said that we lost someone back there, and I want to apologize if I offended. You said something a little bit too brash.
Don't worry about it. It's a stressful situation, We got a lot of shit going on down here.
That is one way to put it.
Left of our comrade, and Hank just holds a piece of ripped shirt or whatever he could grab from Benji as he was running from that entity.
Right.
Perhaps it's time to let this go and move forward.
Water under the bridge.
Hank.
Hank kind of like... Yes.
Question. Small question. What is forward? What is forward here? Where the hell are we?
Forward is where the codpiece points.
I'm glad you asked. Hank does a search. Crit! A one!
Oh,
two crits in a row!
Two crits in a row.
All right.
Okay, he does a search.
I cannot wait for the poor luck to be visited upon you.
Oh, that's not how it works. I roll crits from now on. That's how it works.
That's how it works.
So Hank's looking for any sign of life, footprints. How long have we been here? Which way's north? And where's the king?
Where's the nearest Arby's?
Yeah.
And with a crit, I think you know. So you're trying to get your bearings, right? And I think that at this moment, you're looking around, and Hank, you're trying to get your bearings. You're looking at this whole place, and I think that one of the things that you notice pretty quickly, what's on Hank's mind? What is he looking? You kind of tell me what he's looking for. I don't know, where do you think you are? What is happening right now in Hank's
head? Like I said, I think in Hotel Barman, it was a little bit of a numbness to him. What is reality? I'm never coming back to reality, whatever that was. I think I'm going to die here. And now he's a little bit more sober, and with that comes more anxiety, maybe. And so he's looking primarily for safety. Are they safe here? What looks like the safest direction to collect themselves? Where is danger in the surrounding environment?
Where's danger?
And how can we avoid that?
All right. I think, Hank, as you're looking around, and with that critical, you are looking around at these buildings, and, maybe even there's a moment here where the fog starts to kind of let up or dissipate a little bit. It's hard to tell. Is it day or night? But you look up at the skyline around you. That seems to be the area of most interest at this point in time. And you see a mishmash of buildings. A mishmash of buildings that don't match. They don't match each other. They don't match necessarily any single city. but off in the distance, maybe there is like a ruined, not like a skyscraper necessarily, but like a building that's at least like 6 stories high. And maybe you look up and you look and you're kind of scanning the windows, and there's like one particular bit of wall where, you know, you can see the sky behind the window itself. And right as your eyes are scanning across it, you see the movement of someone moving out of the way. A figure retreating away. And then maybe even you see out the corner of your eye another one. And you get this completely dominating feeling that you are being watched. And there's something actually I want to give you each. As you guys are now coming to your senses, and maybe it's actually best to give Hank yours first. You on roll 20, Brad?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna drop something here. In your mind, now that you're in this time and in this place, could you please read this? This is something that Hank is now realizing.
What is this
in
from?
This How moment? Let's just say this is an epiphany you have in this moment.
Okay. Number 1895. Carcosa is ruled by the King in Yellow. It is an alien country that absorbed ruined and corrupt places and times into itself. Various locations on Karth are connected to Carcosa and are in the process of being consumed. Ytheal, this city, was absorbed by Carcosa long ago, but time has no place here, and so Ytheal is forever being consumed. Hali is the lake at the edge of Ytheal. You feel a strange familiarity here, and as if you saw it once in a dream.
As you look around and you see the spiraling towers, different times, different places, you know these things to be true, Hank.
This is like just popped into my head, sort of, or?
It's something, this is becoming very clear to you. And this is an understanding that is born of your time in the night world, that's born of your propensity. This might be something that you've gleaned just from being exposed to that entity that killed Benji.
Can we roleplay that like y'all just heard everything I just said and I was just like staring? After looking around and just kind of like blurted this out.
Hank, you didn't really answer my question about where forward is. But that, God damn it, maybe that makes sense.
Does he always do this?
No, this is very unusual. This is more what Benji would do.
Well, Benedict, as Hank says this, you then find yourself also adding to it, if you would be so kind.
Hank, I think actually Carcosa is ruled by the King in Yellow. It is an alien country that absorbs ruined and corrupt places and times into itself. Various locations on Earth, like the McAllister building and the Dorchester house and the Hotel Broad Album, are connected to Carcosa and are being consumed. Ytheal, this city, was absorbed by Carcosa long ago, but time has no place here, and so Ytheal is forever being consumed. A living reflection of Ytheal lives on in the depths of Lake Hali. That is where the king holds court. You've been here before, or perhaps will be here again, or will never leave. It feels hazy and dreamlike, but familiar. Like a long-lost childhood home. Don't you think?
And as... as one does... as you are saying this, Benedict, as you guys are having this conversation, Busiak, you drop your eyes down to the water. By the way, Busiak, these guys are... They're having... And this is like a conversation that makes its way out, you know, more fluidly. Busiak, you don't really know what these guys are talking about. Like, there are things that you... that make sense to you, but a lot of it is just kind of goes over your head. Maybe it has to do with, you know, you're entering the story at a different point. You have different exposures, different levels of closeness to the King in Yellow yourself. But Busiak, you look down at the lake itself, and you realize now that the lake, there's something, the water is black. It is not dark. The water is black. But as you look down at the water, as Benedict says this, you see something in the water. Tiny pinpricks of light scattered. Before long, have you ever looked up at the night sky and at first when you look up you can't really see stars, but the longer you look, the more your eyes adjust, the more you pick up the tiny blips?
Right.
The longer you look, Busiak, the more you see. Roll me an intelligence roll for Busiak.
Okay. Intelligence. Sorry, here we go. It is a success.
Busiak, you know what you're looking at here, and at first it is hard to understand because it shouldn't be. You realize you're not looking at a star field. You're looking at the lights of a city. Avenues and streets and buildings laid out. They're laid out like a wheel, like they all come from one central spot, one central street, one central building, one central palace in the depths of this lake.
Okay, so there's like remains of a city, like on the landscape.
Yes.
But what you're describing is in the lake.
And one of you guys, either Ben or Benedict or Hank, give me an intelligence check as well.
I can go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah, let's...
That's a failure. 74 over 70.
Remind you of something. But you're not sure. In the back of your mind.
Guys, what do you see when you look in that lake?
Did we see the same thing?
You do.
Almost looks like a galaxy or a city or something in that. There's something, I don't... we've experienced before, even before the Broad Album, the hotel we were in, wherever we were in. We've been on this trail for a long time, investigating Arcosa and the King in Yellow, and almost reminds me of people were going through mirrors or having could enter a mirror and go into a lake. And almost, I don't know if that's the way out or in. If that might be reality in that lake, as crazy as it sounds, I don't know.
Give me an alertness for Hank. Remember to mark your failures, as always.
Success.
Hank, as you were gazing down and you mentioned this about the mirrors, one of the blips that you're looking at right now, one of these pinpricks of light, maybe a street light or a window, or even a mirror, you see something pass in front of one of them. And you realize that moving within the depths at insane, impossible distances are large, ponderous shapes.
Oh, God.
That list through the lake.
I've seen this. I've seen those, Hank.
Maybe for now.
What the?
Feel like we gotta get to that palace, but I don't know if this is the right way through.
I mean, what the fuck is that? Is that even water? Like, Busiak bends down and tries to cup some of this black substance.
It's wine.
We have to drink our way to the palace.
This is the only way. Busiak, you bend down and you cup the water, and as you do, it almost like a steam goes up from it. Like, it almost like just like turns instantly into this mist that's all around you. And as you do, you realize that it is not just coming up from your hands, but even from the water where you bent down and touched. The mist, the haze, roils up all around you. All around. But then as it settles, you realize that the dark water is gone. And it is now completely replaced with a low-hanging fog that seems to still shift in waves and rivulets up against the shore, but it has now become this gas that moves like water.
The entire ocean.
The entire fucking lake. It's gone. And as the fog breaks, if any of you deigns to look up, you see now that the sky itself is dark, but that somehow that there is some type of, you don't even know if it's light, something is being shed down upon you from a dark sky by two dark suns.
Jesus Christ. Read about this, the twin stars, the dark suns, Carcosa.
We're in Carcosa.
No, fuck that, I ain't looking up.
I think something they use meatball for that in this team, and so you might not have picked up on it yet, Boos.
Something else that's kind of troubling is we're being watched. And he points towards these, like, buildings out in the distance.
Can we still see the buildings?
Hank, as you turn and try to point it out, you can't find the building that you saw previously.
Well, it was here. I just don't know, fellas. I'm almost of the opinion we should... I don't even know if there's night in this place. Should we check throughout the city? There might be people in the city before we... We don't know what we're going to find in this lake, this mist, whatever it is.
Hank, I don't know if the city's... I don't see it. It looks gone.
Oh, there's no city around us at all?
No. There are buildings.
Yeah.
But the building-specific building that you had seen earlier, okay. You cannot lay hands on.
I'm with you.
How far away is the city?
We'll say that there's probably... Let's say that it's like standing on a beach... I know this will help Days. It might not help anybody else. Like the beach of like the Gulf Coast, you know, like there might be as many as 50 meters of sand and then like boardwalk or streets, you know, that kind of butt up against the...
Are we still feeling like... Are our sensations of hunger back or are we still stagnant?
Oh, good question.
If you turn your mind to that, you do find yourself feeling quite hungry. And maybe even as you begin to inspect yourself, you find yourself feeling quite tired.
Okay. So I think... Go ahead.
I asked the question to y'all, I guess. So, Hank wants y'all to decide whether we go forward to this mist lake thing or try to find a place to put up shelter for a while.
I'd imagine... It probably all hits us at once, right? Like, physical sensations coming back after having been in the night world for so long? Or is it more subtle than that?
It's more subtle than that. It's not overwhelming.
Okay. Might not be a bad idea to go to the city over there and try to find some supplies. We don't really know what we're getting into with that whole lake thing.
What do you say, Benedict?
I am not sure. We just touched that lake and this fog's appeared. Somehow we know, Hank, that the way that we need to go is down there. We know this. Not excited.
Let me try something real quick. This might
clear some
things
up. Oh God, no, Fuziak, stop touching things. I was just about to say, I would really appreciate Fuziak, not that you...
He reaches down to the sand and cups it in his hands, and it too turns to fog.
I need to. I don't know how to do this in a character. Fuziak just wants to stick his head in the lake and see if he can breathe in the fog.
So you're gonna,
this is important to know.
It is very. Like, it still does seem to in some way act like water. It seems to still be lapping up against the shore. Bousiat gets down, like, his knees at the edge.
1 second, guys.
Like, his, give me a second. His hands down in
finally.
He puts his hands down in the fog and puts his face down there. And there is a feeling of coldness. But there is not a feeling of liquid. Fuziak, you begin to breathe. You do believe you can breathe in this. And maybe as you do this, as Fuziak comes up and is like looks around, and it's like, and there is like wetness on your face, but it's not like you put your face in water. It's just like that foggy condensation feeling on your skin. And you look down maybe the shore and you see that the fog is like breaking even more so down the shore. And you see that up on the pebble sand beach are what appear to be several longboats.
Oh.
Good news, guys. We can breathe underwater. You see those boats over there?
Great. Useless.
Benedict like slaps
useless.
His knee.
Let's burn them for warmth.
Yes,
it's quite chilly.
Benedict like slaps his knee and looks at Hank and, like, just like this fucking guy, Hank, this guy's the leader. This guy, we follow him now, okay? Do you see what he's got no fear.
Well, hold
Hank.
On.
Alright.
Some would call that recklessness, but you know, to each his own. You can't really have a reckless leader. I have a plan, actually, so.
And leaders have plans.
Yeah, Sam. Leaders need to account for all contingencies. I happen to have a rappelling harness and equipment in my...
Yes.
We could tie a harness around Fuziak, have him walk into the fog, and if he yells or tugs on it and sees something scary, we could just yank him back as a little experiment.
Like a fishing rod. Like
I wouldn't say that to him, but...
And you look over and Fuziak is listening. Already dragging one of the boats into the lake.
Hank.
What are you guys waiting for?
Hank, I hate to say this, but this guy knows what he's doing. We're getting on that ship. We're not going into that water. We saw those same things in the mirrors. We saw those giant tails swishing. I'm not going in that fog water, Hank. We're going to get eaten. Who knows? We've already been eaten, maybe.
What I didn't say eaten, we. Hank? I said Fuziak, but we can get on this. If everybody's so sure that these boats can float on fog, then we'll try that. Do they seem to float?
Yeah, if Fuziak has gone down, and again, and they're not. Fuziak is a pretty strong guy, you know. But you know, I think that you know you can probably pull it a little bit. You probably can't pull it all the way back to like where Hank and Benedict are. But the boat is set up on the shore, and you know it's funny that the boat seems to all have different figureheads on them. When I say they're long boats, you know they're pretty big. Each one of them
is like a Viking long boat or something.
Similar in some ways, not like big enough to carry like 20 men, but you know, like definitely, you know, probably about 10, 15 meters long.
The sail situation?
No sails, no oars, no rudders. on these things. I don't know how much Busiak would know about boats, but he probably knows enough to know that you probably need one of those things. But you look at them, and each one of them has a figurehead carved into it, and it's this weird gray-black wood that you've never really seen anything like it. And the figureheads are different designs. There is a... There's like a lizard dragon thing. There's one that looks like it might be like a cougar or something. There's like a Burmese mountain dog. There's like a frog. There's, you know, some type of like what is that? Is that a capybara? Like, you know, there's all these different
types. How many are
types.
Longboats?
Dozens.
Oh.
Well, obviously we got to take the Burmese mountain dog. Clear choice, right?
Are we all getting on the same one?
Well, you know, and Busiak, why don't you roll me a, why don't you roll me, you know what, you don't have to roll this, Busiak, that's silly. You don't have to roll a dice to know this is not just a carving of a Burmese mountain dog. This is your dog.
Oh.
This is exactly your dog.
Hey, guys, it's my dog. It's my fucking dog on that boat.
Well, that's weird.
What the hell? Huh.
That's Rolo.
Rolo? Yeah, you see Rolo on this thing, and this boat is sitting here, and it's not hard for Busiak to pull it into the water? Question mark? Did someone just roll something?
Yeah, I accidentally clicked on. I was trying to rename
the bond. Okay, I got you. Yeah, so you pull it, and you guys watch Busiak pull it. Busiak, as you get it to the edge of the lake, whatever it's made of, it does begin to float.
Hank, I've got a, variation.
It doesn't make any sense.
You. I've got a variation on your plan. What if you are bobbing along in the boat with us, and we tie that rope that you wanted to you, and we'll pull you up while we're going.
All right.
No, I was not being serious, man. Are you mad?
Now well, you're literally fishing.
We are gonna have to go in that lake some. If this is what y'all want to do, let's go for it. Let's hop in the boat and try to.
Hank, remember Abigail's words on the wall. She was talking about being rescued in a ship and marking a corner, rounding a corner, marking time. I don't know if we need to get in the ship. I mean, I don't know if we need to get in the fog. That sounds bad.
Well, that's what I was asking earlier. What do y'all want to do?
I don't want to go in the fog.
Wait, what did you say about...
You don't
want... talking about... Who's Abby?
Oh god,
it's
that's
this
a
thing,
long
and
story.
I'll explain it in a cutscene.
What is it about time? Why are we getting in the fog?
Yes, I believe what Jean is referring to is what was written on the wall when you guys went to the Dorchester facility. This Abigail Wright. Yes, what is it? Abigail Wright has gone to see his. Gone to sea, crossed the waves to rescue me in a ship, both tall and fine. She rounds the corner, marking time.
What are you saying, Benedict? You don't want to go in this boat, or you do?
What if we're back on track, Hank? What if we might actually find Abigail? If we just follow the ways that she's guiding us. She's told us exactly how to do this.
In the boat,
right?
You think?
I think I would take boat over large, eldritch creatures in the water any day.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, if that was the option, yeah. Let's get in the boat.
All right.
Right, Hank, you starboard. Benedict, you port. I'll take the back. Let's push her out.
All right, but I'm in charge.
I believe this.
But I'm the captain. I'm the captain. I'm the captain now.
I believe that's the bow, Busiak.
Busiak gets it wrong.
It's not the back, it's the bow. And that's the stern. And he says it in a very mansplaining way.
Yeah. Nice. No, I think you got that backwards there. I think the stern is the back of the boat and the bow is the front, but whatever.
You guys push this long boat out in front of you. And it goes, slides out into the water. You guys hop into the back as it, you know, as it goes up, as it goes in. And you're now kind of bobbing there for however improbable in this fog, in these clouds. What do you do?
Busiak stands at the prow with one leg on top of the figurehead with his axe slung across his shoulder, and he looks so fucking cool.
Oh, is that it? That's the end of the thought.
Just looks okay. Cool. Do we still have everything in our inventory from before?
You do.
Okay. Benedict's going to take...
Hank unloads his AR into the...
Benedict is going to look through and...
He sticks his rifle up his ass and says, "Et tu, Brute?"
Okay. Benedict is going to try and have a moment of reflection, and he's going to look down at the little Abigail Wright doll that Charlie made, that Benji stole. He's going to look down, he's kind of going to turn it backwards and frontwards, and he's going to like make sure its dress is kind of all neat and looking good, and the hair, he's going to pet the hair a little bit, and he's going to look out over the fog, and he's just going to drop this little doll into the fog. Say, "Benji, I wish you were here, man."
You all have this overwhelming feeling as you watch Benedict do this, but it's a feeling of... There's kind of this malaise, this darkness, this feeling of despair that's floated ever around you, but as you watch Benedict drop this off and maybe say this out loud, you all feel this rightness. Like you're on the right track. Everyone, please take 2 sandy points back.
Yes!
Oh.
Huh. You never expect to regain sanity when you're sailing into a lake of fog.
No, you don't. And...
Let's throw something else in there.
Benedict, as you look down, you see that you can still see this kind of city spread beneath you through the lake, quote unquote.
Does it float?
When you drop the thing, no, it sinks.
Okay.
You drop the doll, it sinks. But there's a moment where you think to reach out and grab it back up. And maybe even Benedict does drop down and attempt to grab the doll back. You know, oh no, that's something that Benji had. I should get it. But it's just beyond your fingertips. And as it drifts below your fingertips, and just as Benedict reaches out to try to grab it, the hull lurches and dives down into the fog. Ooh. As you guys begin your journey into the lake. And that, my friends, is probably a good place to call it for this one.
That's so cool.
Nice.
I've been trying to get into this lake for like a year of my actual life.
Just in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to start singing a sea shanty.
When you got to this one. We are two mariners.
That would have been so much cooler. You know what? You play Busiak.
All right. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much for joining us. It's a good one.
It was.
We're finally in Carcosa, cool. And shit is getting funny. It's like, I think we've lost all pretense at this point, which is kind of interesting in and of itself. Guys, thank you so much. If you are listening, you're watching later, if you want to get this week early, you want to get the Patreon specific stuff, hey, hit us up over on Patreon, r/greenboxgaming_. It's just $3. You help us be able to do this. And if you're watching us live, stay tuned. We're going to take a break and we will be back in a bit. If you're listening, watching later, thank you for joining us. And guys, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Good job,
thank
man.
You guys are killing it. I love it. Thank you, everyone. We will catch you next time. And remember, as always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.
Bye.